捷径空中美语
Landmark English。
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Landmark English. On today's show, Stephanie is going to make sounds like a llama. Wow, I didn't know you'd actually try that, Stephanie.
Well,
is that really what a llama sounds like?
I have no idea.
Well, it sounded good to me. So, listeners, we have been talking about traveling around in the country of Bolivia, which you find in South America, and in which one may find many, many llamas.
Yeah, they're really cute animals. I think I explained this earlier. They're kind of like a horse. They have really long hair, and they shave the hair off the llama to use for sweaters. It's great.
Right, and aren't they? They have, like, a long neck, and then they've got long ears.
Yeah, they're really, and big eyes.
Right, they're really interesting animals.
They're sweet looking.
And you find them in South America,
mm-hmm.
especially in the country of Bolivia, and the writer of this 3-day travel unit actually found them as he was exploring some of the ruins of the ancient cultures in Bolivia. Well, on today's show, the writer is going to continue on. It's a new day, and he's heading for a new place, the city of Cochabamba. I love that word, Cochabamba.
Isn't it cute?
It is.
Makes you want to dance.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, let's jump into our story. We'll learn about this city, the City of Eternal Spring, and wrap up our travels in Bolivia.
I felt ready to take on a new day and a new destination. I took the overnight bus to Cochabamba, the city of eternal spring. Strolling through the elegant 14th of September Plaza in the center of the city, I found a definite European flavor in the air. The streets are lined with trees, and the buildings sport elegant Spanish-style arches. At one end, the plaza is dominated by a large clock tower. In the central square, is a white marble fountain with beautifully carved statues of standing women. The fountain could just as easily decorate the plazas of Madrid or Rome.
Okay, the writer spent an entire day in the ruins of Tiwanaku, and now he feels ready to take on a new day and a new destination. So if you take something on, we've talked about this before, it basically means that you are prepared to deal with a new challenge, to bring something new in your life and see how, you know, you can answer the questions connected to it, deal with possible problems. And when you're traveling, taking on a new day can be tiring because there's a lot to do, always something new. And especially, it's like that if you have a new destination.
Mm-hmm. A destination means the place that you're going to. You know, if you want to go traveling and you go to the airport, maybe you go to the counter and the lady there who's working could say, "Miss, what's your destination? Where are you going?" So he's decided to take the overnight bus to a fun city called Cochabamba. The nickname of this place is the City of Eternal Spring. Now, an overnight bus is a bus that drives all night.
Yeah, overnight buses are great when you are traveling because it saves you one night in the hotel. On the other hand, oh boy, I've had some bad experiences on overnight buses.
Me
because,
too.
Yeah, you're shaking everywhere and moving everywhere and it's hard to sleep. I was once on an overnight bus in Thailand, and every time we turned left, see, I was sitting under the air conditioner and it was broken. Every time we turned left, I would get a shower of water splashing down on top of my head. Anyway, the writer took the overnight bus in South America to this city. If it's the city of eternal spring, spring never ends. It's eternal.
Doesn't that sound lovely? Well, once he got there, he says he was strolling through the elegant 14th of September Plaza in the center of the city, and there he found a definite European flavor in the air. when you stroll, it means you're walking around in a really slow, kind of relaxed way. You're doing it for pleasure. It's not because you're trying to exercise or get somewhere quickly. You're just looking around and enjoying the view. And here he can see a really elegant or impressive looking 14th of September plaza. So what they've done is they've named this plaza or square after an important date when an event happened that they want to remember. And it's in the center or the middle of the city. And there he found or felt a definite European flavor in the air, meaning he felt like this plaza seemed to be something that should have been in Europe, not in South America.
Right. If it's definite, it means that it is for sure true. So he's really trying to show how it is a bit surprising to have this European flavor or feeling in the air. Now, he's going to describe why it's got this flavor, why this feeling is in the air. The streets are lined with trees, and the buildings sport elegant Spanish-style arches. If you say something is lined with something, you're usually talking about one edge and how along that edge you have something kind of covering that edge, separating that edge out from whatever's on the other side. For example, you might line your room, the edges of your room, with some paintings or pictures. And basically, we're talking about how all the streets have trees along the sides, along the edges of the streets. And the buildings are sporting, or the buildings have these elegant Spanish-style arches all around. An arch is a particular shape. It's like a half circle on top with these two columns or walls that go down on either side. And it's just a special Spanish style of building.
Now, at one end, the plaza is dominated by a large clock tower. So on one side of the plaza, there's this really big clock tower. When something dominates something else or it's just dominating something, it means it's larger and really more noticeable than anything else in the area or at that place. So when you go to this at this end of the plaza, all you really notice is this really large clock tower.
That's right. So you've got the huge clock tower on one end, but in the central square, you see a white marble fountain. You could even say the central square is dominated by the white marble fountain. A fountain is when you have something that looks like a statue, looks like some kind of structure, and usually there's water either inside it in a pool, often also water that comes up and splashes down into the pool. That's called a fountain. And these are, of course, very famous in most cities. It's something that they would build in the middle of the city. Interestingly enough, fountains originally were built because they were the source of water for people in the city. You didn't have water in your homes. You had to go to the fountain to get the water. Here, though, it's a white marble fountain with beautifully carved statues of standing women in the fountain and near it that just really helps give that Spanish flavor to the plaza.
Now, marble is a really hard rock that once it's polished, it's really smooth. It's also used a lot for carving because it's so strong.
Right. Actually, there is a lot of marble here in Taiwan, and on the East Coast, they pull a lot out of the mountains near Hualien.
I know. I bought some.
In fact, it's some of the most beautiful marble in the world, I think.
It sure is.
Anyway, this fountain there in the middle of the plaza, made out of white marble, it could just as easily decorate the plazas of Madrid or Rome. So again, we've got that Spanish style, that European flavor. Just as easily do something means that the thing that you're talking about is doing one thing. But because of the way it does it, because of how well it does it, how good it is at doing something, it's just as easy for it to do another thing. Sounds a little strange in this case because the fountain is just being a fountain in the middle of the plaza. But because it looks European and it has that feeling, you could imagine seeing the same fountain in the middle of a plaza in Madrid or Rome. And Madrid is in Spain, Rome is in Italy, so there you have your European flavor. Okay, before we continue, let's listen to some Chinese explanation on these first two paragraphs.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们来看到在今天文章里面的第二段，这里的第二个句子呢，它写着 The streets are lined with trees and the buildings sport elegant Spanish style arches. 在这里我们讲到 be lined with, 就解释成为排列着。Line 这个字呢，本来是有名词排列的队伍，但是这里当作动词，也就是沿着街道或者是墙壁排列。所以在这里的 The streets are lined with trees， 我们也可以说这些街道可谓是所谓的 tree-lined streets， 可以用 tree 再加上一个连字号 lined， 就变成一个复合的形容词。而后面的句子用逗号 and 连接 The buildings sport elegant Spanish style archesarch 当然就是拱门咯，而这里的动词 sport 解释成为炫耀夸饰的意思。那我们如果讲到 sport a new dress， 就是代表在炫耀自己新的洋装。其实呢，在昨天跟今天的文章里面都有很多的分词构句，而这样的分词构句呢，都是可以帮助同学在写作的时候应用。那我们就不妨拿这一个例句来做一个独立分词构句。所谓独立分词构句呢，也就是代表后面或是前面的这个分词构句啊，它有自己独立的主词，所以我们要把不同的主词保留下来，加上一个分词。所以这个句子我们就可以改成 The streets are lined with trees, the buildings sporting elegant Spanish style arches. 所以改为独立分词构句，我们就可以把 and 拿掉，然后呢 sport 改成 sporting，这样子呢，就是很棒的一个独立分词构句。如果能够常常应用在写作上，用分词构句、独立分词构句来写作的话，分数当然也会高一点。
Okay, let's take a short break now. We'll be right back in just a moment. Welcome back to Landmark English. I'm Bill, here with Stephanie, talking about this month's travel unit, and we are just about to wrap up our 3-day trip through Bolivia. So let's jump right into the last two paragraphs of our story.
The city is filled with elegant churches,and monuments to various Christian heroes and popes. The most noticeable is the giant statue of Jesus, which dominates the entire cityscape. Known as Cristo de la Concordia, he stands with his arms held out on a high hill overlooking the city. His white form towers over the city's residents night and day. Heading towards the hill, I climbed up the steep steps to get a proper view of the city.Huffing and puffing my way to the top, I was rewarded with a spectacular view. The entire city spread out before me, from the rich white marble of the ancient center to the smooth blue waters of the lake. Bolivia is a land of many cultures, but the beauty of this place translates universally.
Okay, we are wrapping up our day in Cochabamba, the city that Stephanie begins dancing every time she hears the name. She's really dancing in the studio.
I love that name. It's fun.
Anyway, this city is filled with elegant churches and monuments to various Christian heroes and popes. So again, it's got a little more of a European flavor than maybe South American, like the Aymara Indians that we had been looking at before.If something is filled with something, like a city filled with churches and monuments, we're talking about how the place or the thing has many of the other things inside. So this city, when you look at the city from the outside of it in, there are many, many churches and monuments. It's filled with these monuments to various Christian heroes and popes. Now, this is our fun with phrases phrase to be filled with, so let's take another look at this phrase.
Okay, Brenda, what's going on? The whole apartment is filled with smoke.
Well, I was trying to bake a pie, and I guess I forgot about it.
What kind of pie was it?
It was filled with all kinds of things like apples and broccoli and squid.
Squid? Apples? That sounds special. What else was it filled with?
Well, now you can see for yourself what it was filled with, since it's all over the floor.
Yes, I do see. Here, let me help you with that. Where are the towels?
Thanks, Hank. That drawer on the left is filled with towels.
Hey, Brenda, I am suddenly filled with the desire to go out and eat. Want to come?
That sounds like a great idea, Hank. Let's go.
Okay, the city has many of these beautiful, elegant churches and many monuments. We talked about that before. It's just a big building or statue to remember something. To these Christian heroes and even some popes. We're talking leaders of the Catholic Church from the past, the old popes.
That's right. The most noticeable of all of these monuments is a giant statue of Jesus, and it dominates the entire cityscape. Remember what dominates means? It means to be larger and more noticeable than anything else in the area. Well, it dominates the scene because it's so big. It's giant. It dominates the entire cityscape. Now, cityscape is our by-the-way phrase. And a cityscape is just saying a view of the city from one particular place. So it's kind of a nice way to change the way you say, oh, the view or the scene. It's a cityscape.
Right. It's similar to the word landscape, which also means the way that a place looks, the way basically it's built, so how the mountains and the rivers all flow when you look at it. But there, if it's a landscape, it's just the land. Cityscape specifically has all the buildings and the things that make it a city in that view. Like you said, it's today's by the way, so let's take another look at how to use this word.
Hi, Joe. What did you get up to over the weekend?
I went up into the mountains around Taipei to see the whole cityscape spread out before me.
Cityscape? Is that anything like landscape?
Exactly right. We use the word landscape to describe the natural world that is in front of us, and the word cityscape to describe a scene where there is a city in front of us.
其实 landscape 和 cityscape 都指的是地表上的景色，不过 landscape 强调的是诸如高山、湖泊等自然的景色，而 cityscape 则指的是高楼大厦之类的都市风景。So the landscape might have mountains, trees, or fields, and the cityscape would have skyscrapers, cars, and houses.
Right. So in some ways, I prefer a nice natural landscape, but it sure is impressive to look out over a cityscape like Taipei.
And sometimes there can be patches of landscape within a cityscape.
That's right. Places like parks and other green areas, even though they are within a city, can still be called landscape. See you next time.
Now the statue here is known as Cristo de la Concordia. I like the way that you said it there with the Spanish accent, and I tried it as well.
That was great.
If we had some Spanish-speaking friends, they would probably just laugh at
us. Laugh.
But this actually means Christ of Concordia or of Concord, so we're talking about this statue. He stands with his arms held out on a high hill overlooking the city. So he's standing up on the high hill. His arms are held out. He's holding his arms up, and they're open. When you have your arms up away from your body, you can say you are holding your arms up, holding them out. You don't actually have anything in your hands, but but because you are using your hands and your arms to put them in the air and make a gesture, try and communicate without words, we say you are holding your arms out. And here, he's overlooking the city. That's a pretty easy word to understand. Overlook. Look over something. So he's watching the city below him.
That's right. So if the statue overlooks, it just means it has a view of something from a higher position. And why is the statue higher? Huh, it's on a high hill. Well, Jesus has a white form, and he towers over the city's residents night and day. When you tower over something, it means you're taller than the other people or the things around you. If you have a friend who's really tall, you could say, "Oh, he towers over me." So he towers over the people living in the city who are called residents, and he's there all the time. So you could say he watches them night and day.
Now, heading towards the hill. So going up to the hill because the rider wants to go check out the statue, he climbed up the steep steps to get a proper view of the city. You can go all the way up to the top and see just what the statue of Jesus sees as it overlooks the city. But first, you have to climb up the steep steps. Now, if you climb up something, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to use your hands to, like, climb up a ladder or climb a tree. We can use it when it means you are going up by walking up steps, especially if the steps are steep. If they are steep, it means that they go up quite fast. You know, it's like you're going forward and up at the same time. Now, if you go forward for a pretty good distance before going up, then it wouldn't be steep. It can be easier to do that, more relaxing. If it's steep, it's going to go up really quickly and be kind of hard to walk up those steps. So the rider wants to do this to get a really good or proper view of the city.
Well, like Bill said, they're steep, so it's not easy. You have to be in pretty good shape. He said he was huffing and puffing his way to the top. When you huff and puff, this is a phrase we use to say we need to breathe kind of loudly. We're using a lot of energy to do something, so we're huffing and puffing to get to the top. But once he was at the top of that hill, he was rewarded with a spectacular view. When you're rewarded, it's because you did something, you earned it. And what did he get? A terrific view.
Right, so this wonderful view of the city spread out before him, from the rich white marble of the ancient center to the smooth blue waters of the lake. It's what he saw there, and if it's spread out, we talked about that, you see the city out over the big area of land that the city covers. And he says, from one thing to the other, so just showing, again, how he can see all of the city. The white marble of the fountains in the middle of the ancient center, the old part of town, all the way out to these blue waters of the lake near the city. So wrapping up, the writer says that Bolivia is a land of many cultures, but the beauty of this place translates universally.
Yeah, when you say something translates, we're not talking about into a different language. We're just saying that people can understand it because it has the same meaning. Now, what is universally? It's an adverb, but if you use the adjective, we can explain that a little bit more. If something's universal, it means it involves everyone in the world. So everyone in the world can understand the beauty of this place.
Right. I think that's why he said translates universally. It's like saying the ideas of the culture, the ideas of this beautiful place, well, everyone will be able to understand it. Not just because it touches on both European culture and South American culture, but also just because it's all about beauty and the wonderfulness you get when you travel. Okay, let's wrap up our show with some more Chinese explanation.
接着我们看到的在第三段的中间的句子写着, Known as Cristo della Concordia, he stands with his arms held out on a high hill overlooking the city. 在这里的 known as 开头, 我们来看到跟 known 有关的几个片语, 当我们说到 be known to, 就代表是为什么所熟知的, he is known to the public, 它呢是为大众所熟知的。那讲到 be known for, 就代表以什么有名，比如说 Taiwan is known for its tropical fruits, 台湾呢已有很多的热带水果有名。另外一个就是今天课文所提到的 be known as, as 后面加的是身份地位，所以中文就解释成为以什么著称。所以这个雕像呢，它是以 Cristo della Concordia 著称这个名字。He stands with his arms, 同样的用 with 所连接的一个名词片语，代表的是一种附带的状态。但是要请同学注意的是，这里的 held out, held 并不是过去式动词，而是一个过去分词，表示被动，而后面还有一个现在分词 overlooking the city 表示主动。我们先来说一下为什么说手臂是 held out on a high heel， 因为呢我们说啊，大脑下命令让手呢伸出去，所以呢我们用的就是被动。再举个例子， My father sat on the sofa with his eyes closed， 在这里的 closed 就是因为大脑下命令，所以眼睛闭起来。或者是 My father sat on the sofa with his arms folded， 他的手臂呢是折叠起来的，所以这里要请同学特别注意一下 with his arms held out on a high hill， 而后面Overlooking the city 指的呢就是它呢是整个俯瞰这整个城市，所以我们就可以用主动的 overlook, overlooking。 接着我们来看到在第四段的一开头写着 Huffing and puffing my way to the top, I was rewarded with a spectacular view。 在这里很有趣的呢就用 huffing and puffing， 指的呢 huff 本来就是有愤怒或喷烟的意思，A puff 则是有喘气的意思，可见了他一路爬山非常的辛苦，就可以用这样的分词构句开头咯。Huffing and puffing my way to the top， 这样把他的音跟他的意都很忠实的表现出来。
All right, listeners, let's review today's vocabulary words.
Destination.The final destination of our tour of London will be the British Museum. Stroll. Sarah spent the day strolling through the downtown area. Overlook. You must check out the Eiffel Tower, which overlooks the entire city of Paris. Steep. The steep mountain is very difficult for inexperienced hikers. Universally.A smile is understood universally as a sign of friendliness.
All right, listeners, thanks for joining us here with our show. We hope you found this travel through Bolivia really interesting. I know the writer did, and I know Stephanie did as well.
Oh, yeah, and I'm really kind of jealous because I know you're preparing to take a little trip there yourself. This place sounds really cool.I think the thing I'm most interested in is seeing the ruins that he visited. Those sound cool.
Yeah, I agree. I saw the pictures on the internet when I was looking through our story.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing. The walls of this city were huge, and there were temples all over the place. And I just love seeing the old ruins of ancient civilizations. Because, like I said, you do get that feeling of history when you're walking through those old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listeners, thanks for joining us here on Landmark English. Please be back next time. Until then, I'm Bill.
I'm Stephanie.
See you next time.